Come on down.
For the Flood Resilience Committee for Monday, January 31st, 2022. Good to see everybody there. Item number two, approval of the minutes from November 30th and May 3rd. We have a motion. We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? All in favor to approve, please say aye.
Aye.
All right, the minutes are approved. Item number three is public comments. If you'd like to make a public comment to the Flood Resilience Committee, please come up, give your name and address, and you'll have 2 minutes. Is anybody here for flood resilience? Nope, no takers. All right. We will move on to item four, presentation on environmental guidelines for land development. Kevin.
Good evening. Good evening, Mr. Mayor, members of the Flood Resiliency Committee. We have about a 15-minute presentation here.
Okay.
Real quick. And excuse the mask. We had a couple more days of my CDC protocol here. We've got a 15-minute presentation for you. We are going to... the team that was assembled to create this development program to address new development, we've got myself, Amanda Knight, Marissa Poultney, which have both have been very instrumental in development and providing input. We also have Heidi Moser, another staff engineer. She has her degree in environmental engineering, and she's taking the lead on this particular program. We've been at this for some time now with a series of meetings with the Planning Commission. We began really back pre-COVID, back in July 2020, with evaluating where the town stands environmentally with our regulations. We since the next few meetings, we looked at other municipalities. We looked at the city of Charleston. We looked at Wilmington. We looked at Savannah. Beaufort, we looked at how they were being more environmentally friendly with their regulations and things that they were doing. They were all coastal cities. We also looked at different approaches. We looked at the macro level approach, where it would be watershed based, it would address new development, how those impacts would be on the entire watershed. We did do some evaluation of smaller redevelopment sites, one in particular, Pickle Pallet. We went through the Planning Commission. We discussed some of the situations that could improve what they were doing on a very micro level. And then we went through a peer review, which included a number of internal staff members. We presented to them what we were planning on doing and some of our ideas we had. So we've been a long ways. We've come a long ways, and which brings us to this point of presenting you an update of where we are. Our next milestone is to develop a kind of a standardized measuring tool, which is going to be our next step to be able to apply a certain comparison, a measuring device that compares all development that comes into the town based upon their level of environmental improvements. And then our target is maybe May to the end of the beginning of the summer of having something draft in front of you again. Now we'll be back before you to give you some updates as things progress and development occurs. but right now, just as an update, we all began with the conference plan. That's our long-term vision. This is the adopted comprehensive plan. Gives us our direction, which is to look at new development and see where we can consider in implementing low impact development design. And if you looked at the previous comprehensive plans, every one of them has preserve and protect our natural resources. So this is all in line with direction of the town and under the same goals and objectives of our town council. The other building block we were using is the strategic plan. The currently verbatim, straight from our strategic plan, is to develop ordinance that promote environmentally friendly buildings practices to both for both town projects and private projects. Also, straight from the strat plan is to incorporate resilience planning in redevelopment projects, establish redevelopment guidelines to promote resource tools and incentives. This is exactly what we're trying to do. We're following the strategic plan. We're trying to develop a program that does use guidelines that provide resources, tools, and incentives. The incentives piece is going to come later, but what we're going to do is just try to create the framework for a very easily to understand environmental program that doesn't create a financial hardship. So I am going to, excuse me, turn this over to Ms. Moser.
Thank you, Kevin. Good afternoon, Mayor, Council members. Working off of what Kevin was mentioning with the foundations of the comp plan and the strat plan, we first identified this as a priority based on analyzing the historical development patterns in the town. So this map you see here is an age of development map. It shows a summary of developed parcels by decade. The red shows what was developed before 2000. The green shows what was developed after 2000. Now, we chose that year 2000 as the cutoff point because before then was really before any water quality and water quantity regulations were enforced. So it correlates to a time period where there's really inadequate, inefficient stormwater infrastructure. And so a few key things to point out with this map. In the south part of town, we see a lot of red, a lot of older development that corresponds to very minimal detention, very minimal water quality treatment. In the north, there's a lot more green, a lot more newer development. That's a lot more water quality treatment, more environmentally conscious site designs. And then the other important thing to point out is in our Shem Creek watershed, we know 5,384 building permits were pulled from January 2016 to February 2021, so over a five-year time period. And that's significant because we know our Shem Creek watershed is completely built out, almost completely built out. So a lot of those permits were probably for redevelopment type projects, retrofits, renovations. And that can raise some concerns because any extra impervious surface that these sites add essentially goes untreated. So there's this lost opportunity to provide sustainable site designs and really encourage natural designs. And so that brings me to our approach with our program. So this is a mission statement for what we are trying to accomplish. We want to move the town forward by pursuing our comprehensive and strategic planning goals to guide development and redevelopment in a manner that preserves and protects our natural resources by advancing environmental policies and regulations. So it's all about encouraging sustainable growth and really maximizing environmental designs and practices. Our goal is also to develop a first of its kind program in the state. We don't really know of any other municipalities that have a program like this in South Carolina. So it would be something that is cutting edge and first of its kind. And so one way that we are planning to do this is through encouraging low impact development. So this here is a definition of low impact development, and it's really all about trying to design back to natural conditions. It's an approach that mimics or preserves the natural characteristics of a site. And these are some examples from around the town, actually through them are from Town Hall. So we have a green roof up on our third floor, and then we have two bioretention systems in our parking lot over by the gym and in between the drive aisles. And those bioretention systems are designed to capture stormwater, allow it to filter into the ground and get some of that water quality treatment. And the town actually went above and beyond to install these. This is not something that was required. So we want to set that example. And then that last picture there is Charleston National. They have floating wetlands in some of their stormwater ponds to provide extra water quality treatment and bank stability. So these are just some examples from around the town. And I know a lot of times when we talk about low impact development, it's usually associated with stormwater, but there's actually a lot of other benefits to low impact development that people may not know. And this graphic, I think, does a great job at just showing the wide variety of benefits to low impact development techniques. And this is actually from the EPA website. Things like LID can save you energy. Green roofs help provide insulation, or if you collect your rainwater, that can cut costs on irrigation. Multiple ecological benefits from habitat, ecosystem biodiversity increases, groundwater recharge. It can even increase property values because it improves that aesthetic. And then another important one is flood management. So it can actually help mitigate the risk of flooding. And just sort of a side note, with creating a program like this that encourages and incentivizes LID, we can actually earn CRS credit points to help with our flood rating. So that's just an added benefit of creating a program like this. But you can see there are a multitude of benefits, and the town is really in this perfect position to facilitate those benefits. And so that's why we have come up with our approach in creating an environmental point system. And how that is going to work is we are going to set a minimum threshold, a minimum number of points that developments must meet. And we will define what sort of LID techniques would qualify for points, how many points those different techniques would be worth. And the idea right now is to focus on non-residential development and redevelopment type projects, so those commercial projects. And once this program is up and running, we can then expand it to the larger residential subdivisions and even a scaled-down version for single-family homes, possibly. So this is what we have decided to go with, an environmental point system. And we've selected a point system because when you look at low-impact development techniques, they really are non-quantifiable. It's hard to measure their performance and their benefit. And so a point system allows us to assess the relative association they have at achieving and meeting our targets and goals. Also, with going with a point system, we are focusing on sort of the micro-level components to help achieve our macro-level goals. So what can developers do on their site that's feasible to have this contributing impact? And I like to sort of draw the connection. If you think about a tree and what it takes to grow a tree big and strong, you need sunlight, you need rain, you need nutrients. Each one of those components is essential and important. One in and of itself will not grow the best tree you can grow. And so if we want to create a town that is sustainable, we need to adjust all these little micro components. And so I'm going to go through a few examples of what that could look like. So one example could be restoring or protecting a natural habitat. This picture is actually from the old village, and if you drive by, it just may look like overgrown vegetation or weeds, but it's actually a certified wildlife habitat, and that's a program that the National Wildlife Federation puts on where you can get your area certified as a natural habitat. So that's something that developers could incorporate into their site, even like a smaller scale version. Other things could be like installing a pollinator garden, so using a variety of plants that attract bees, because bees are critical for our ecosystem, or reducing impervious surface, turning it into more pervious pavement, or other forms of green infrastructure for stormwater management. And then we want to take it a step further beyond just stormwater, and doing things like light pollution reduction techniques, renewable energy, or just that livability component, having it, is it walkable? Is there access to public transit? Do you have that connection with nature? So all of those components really coming together. And like I mentioned, LID, it's non-quantifiable. It's difficult to really measure that performance. And so in order to figure out how we're going to assign points to these different LID techniques, we are going to be basing our program off of something that is already established and successful, and that is the methodology behind the LEED certification program. So LEED stands for Leadership in Energy and Environmental Design, and it's a well-renowned program. It's the most widely used green rating, building rating system in the world. And these are a few examples. Soldier Field in Chicago is LEED certified. Facebook headquarters in Menlo Park is LEED Platinum, and then the Vancouver Convention Center is also LEED Platinum. So those are just a few examples. But how this program works is buildings earn credits for incorporating energy efficient and green practices in their building design to then receive a rating of certified silver, gold, or platinum. And so we really like the framework for how they have their program established. And we're not just going to be like adopting this program and saying every building has to be LEED certified, because that's just not feasible, especially with a lot of the redevelopment type projects. It can also become very costly. The LEED program also focuses primarily on the building. And so we want to take parts of this program to expand it to all of land development, so it incorporates more of those site components. And so one of the things that we are taking from this LEED program and working off of is their justification for how they distribute points to their different green practices. And they do that through impact categories. So these impact categories are essentially like their goals for their program. Like they want to combat climate change, promote green economy, protect their natural resources, things like that. And so we want to take that idea, and we have created our own impact categories. So these are essentially the goals we want to accomplish with our program. First one is to protect and restore natural water resources. So this is that stormwater component, that water quality, that flood control component. The second one is preserve and improve ecosystem biodiversity. So when we talk about biodiversity, we refer to the variety of plants and animals in an environment. And when you improve the biodiversity, you improve the productivity, the resiliency, and the adaptability of an area. So that's definitely something that you want to make sure you're preserving. And then the third impact category is to improve community livability. So this is drawing in that component of mobility, aesthetics, well-being. It's really the component that you can feel. It may not be easily observed, but you know you're in an area that is livable. It's a place you want to be. And then the fourth impact category is promote energy resiliency and sustainable building practices. And this is just another component of creating that overall sustainable environment for the town. So that's focusing on the building itself. So With these impact categories, we plan to use them to then assess the different LID techniques that we want to encourage, to just figure out what their relative association and contribution is to achieving these different impact categories. And so I'm going to go through a few examples of how that will work. But essentially, we're working through to see how well do these different techniques help us achieve our goals. And then that way, we have something that becomes justifiable. So then we know how many points to give it. So it's not just out in the open, some random number. It's actually something that becomes measurable and robust. So if we take an example, restoring natural habitat. So think back to that picture. Restoring a natural habitat has a very high association with improving ecosystem biodiversity, because that's essentially what you're trying to do. You want to bring in that natural variety of plants. That also has a low association with restoring natural water resources, because it is pervious surface, and so it does have some of that stormwater benefits. And then it also helps to meet that improved community livability component, because it's a lot nicer to look at than like an asphalt parking lot. Second example could be bioretention system, so what we have outside Town Hall. This system is primarily used for stormwater treatment, so that has a very high association with protecting and restoring natural water resources. It also helps to improve ecosystem biodiversity, because bioretention systems have a variety of plants, they attract a variety of animals, and then they also tend to be a lot nicer to look at than just like a natural habitat. Third example could be renewable energy sources like wind, solar. This has a very high association with our promoting energy resiliency category, because that's what we're trying to do. And then it also is a cleaner form of energy, and so I would say it has a low association with improving community livability. And then the last example I'll go through is light pollution reduction technique. So if you think about those different light shades, this has a high association with improving that community livability component, because it really is improving that well-being. You don't want to have a lot of light pollution. It also helps to promote energy resiliency and even helps to protect some of our animal ecosystems. So these are just four examples, and this is what we plan to go through with those different LID techniques to just sort of measure their relative association across these impact categories so that we can accurately assign them points. And one thing I just want to point out with this is, as you can see with these four examples, there is a high rating in each one of these impact categories. And so I want to show to you that we're not creating a program that's just geared towards stormwater. We are creating something that is overall addressing all components of sustainability. And so to just wrap it up, we have contracted with a consultant, the Cranston and Hazen Sawyer team. We're very excited to be working with them because they are knowledgeable and experienced in environmental management and resiliency type projects. And they will be serving as a technical advisor for this program. So they're going to be vetting sort of our point distributions and making sure we're creating a program that is feasible and tangible. But we will be the ones actually creating it. They will just serve as a technical advisor. So sort of next steps. We are about halfway through with the development of this program. The next sort of main things that we're going to need to do is establish that standardized measurement tool. What is that minimum threshold for compliance going to be? And then something we're also really excited about looking into is exploring incentive options. How can we maximize developers to participate? There will be a minimum threshold for compliance, but how can we get them to get to that next level and want to get to that next level? And then going along with that, we're going to need to make sure we engage with the private and public sector stakeholders, have that open dialogue going to make sure we create something that is feasible and tangible for them to create. And then at the end of this, we're hoping to create draft ordinances. So that is the end all goal. But that is the end of my presentation. So
thank you.
Any questions?
Just one thing real quickly, and then we'll open it up. Next month, the head of the State Floodwaters Commission, Tom Mulligan, your former commanding officer in the State Guard, is going to come talk with us. And he's very interested in seeing municipalities and counties around the state do exactly what we're doing. So could y'all write sort of a cover of this?
Yeah.
And then we can get this to him before he comes. You know, our committee day is the end of February. It's okay. March committees, but it's the end of February, just kind of like we're doing this month. I would love to get that to him and maybe the whole commission, but it might, the state floodwaters, but it might not be time yet. I'll leave that up to y'all.
Okay. Yeah,
We're sort of in the early stages of this, but you know, I don't know what all the details of this will end up to be or what gets enacted into an ordinance, but as the town goes, to go from our whole thing about flood resilience, going from how much pipe do we need to put in the ground to how do we, you know, cure the problem before it starts and before it becomes just a drainage issue is huge. I mean, I think what y'all have done, the groundwork for this is fantastic. So, committee? Ms. Hyatt?
I'll just say a couple of years ago, I tried to bring up the subject at planning. I was saying greener ways of development. I didn't know really what to call it, and we had a presentation then, but I didn't realize that we were all working on this. I'm new to this committee, so I don't know if it's been a part of this, but I'm happy to see it. This is what I was hoping we would be able to accomplish.
Yeah. Especially here when we've got so much salt water around us in the marshlands, it's the ramifications of us not doing it right are worse. I mean, it's not good anywhere to not do it right, but I mean, the immediate effects are somewhat, you know, look at the water quality in Shim Creek right now is not good. And so whatever we do, and when we get to this thing about draft ordinances and all that, we see the big picture. Now we're just working towards the smaller stuff. I really commend y'all's efforts on this. And if y'all would sort of just get me like a synopsis, and
definitely
I'll get it off to Mr. Mulliken before he comes next month. Right. Anything else? Yes, ma'am.
Just super smart to not actually go for the certification, but using those guidelines to get you to that point without having to spend those funds and extra time documenting when we're doing it. So that impressed me right from the get-go. So good job. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right.
Yes, sir. Just real quick, we do have the groundwork, and the important thing is we want to make sure that this is going to be guiding new development and not hindering new development, and guiding redevelopment and doing it in a smarter and a better way without actually creating any kind of financial hardship to anybody that wants to redevelop their property. So I just want to make sure that that's going to be our initiative and make sure that we're going to accomplish that.
Beautiful.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes. Any other comments or questions? Thank you all very much, and look forward to working with this. I think we probably have reasons to be meeting every month now, so we'll keep that up. Thank you very much, and we will stand adjourned.